We've got Epatant, we've got Envoi Alain, we've got Honeysuckle, we've got the Ladbrokes Trophy, we've got all the best tips and all the latest odds. Welcome along to a superb weekend of racing. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look ahead to all these goodies are David Jennings and Keith Melrose from the Racing Post, as well as Paddy Powers, Ryan McHugh. Really exciting weekend, as well as Newbury and Newcastle on Saturday. We've got three really, really star-studded races at Fairy House on Sunday. We will make sure you are right across all the best betting opportunities. Okay, let's go. The 205 at Newcastle. Saturday is the Betfair Fighting Fifth Hurdle, featuring the reappearance of the reigning champion hurdler, Epatant. Before David Jennings tells us how she is going to get on, Ryan, give us Paddy Power's latest show.
Yeah, Epatant now out to 8 to 11, Bruce, having been shorter earlier in the week. So Royale is in there at 130. It's 11 to 2 Silver Streak and 8 to 1 Ribble Valley, who's been attracting a bit of support.
Hold fire, DJ, because I just want to ask Ryan about that market move for Epatant. Is that a surprise? Is there anything in that? Is it sinister, worrying?
I think you'd have to be slightly concerned, yeah, if you took any of the shorter prices, just given the fact she is out to over even money on the Betfair Exchange. So it would be a worry for her followers, obviously having her first run of the season. So she's 8 to 11 and only going one way at the moment, Bruce.
Okay, DJ, Epatant drifting. Is that a worry, or does that mean that you just get better prices for backing the winner?
Yeah, see, this is the thing. If you take the latter approach, she'll probably get beaten and vice versa. It's very worrying, Bruce. 2.24 on Betfair as I'm speaking at the minute. Like, imagine if you were told that on Monday or Tuesday. It's bonkers. It's a massive, massive drift. And there's obviously something, somebody knows something somewhere, because this mare should not be 2.24 in a race of this nature. So we're shooting in the dark, really, with regard to Epatant. The one horse I did think all week that's been overpriced, and even since the betting opened up in the race, is Ribble Valley. I do think he's a very good horse. He was freely available at 10s, double figures for the last week. He's been nibbled at a little bit with Paddy Power into 8 to 1. I still think that's too big. I could see Ribble Valley going off about 9 to 2, 5 to 1. He has to go and do it, and he hasn't proved himself to be at this sort of level yet. But I was impressed by what he did at Carlisle. I think the second horse, Nicholson, is a very good horse. The third horse, Molly Ollie's Wishes, ran well next time, and then won, despite jumping terribly at Hereford the other day, won very well, and he was giving her a stone. I just think he's a very good horse. He's had a wind operation. It seemed to work, judging by his performance at Carlisle. I think Epatant is head and shoulders above these, but this drift is really worrying me. And for that reason, I think Ribble Value at the moment is the value at 8 to 1.
Okay, Keith, what do you make of this Epatant drift?
Well, you're worried because of the yard as much as anything else, aren't you? The drifts from Henderson's yard tend to smell more than most, quite frankly. And yeah, I think that's the concern. I wouldn't be worried normally, as DJ says, on form. She should be 4-9. She's, you know, she is £10 clear of the rest on RPRs. She gets that mare's allowance. With her weight, with that allowance in there, she's only a pound off sort of Bouverdere levels. He was 171 at his best. She's 163. You'd put 7 on that, and you've got two very similar standard of horses, and she's obviously got more improvement potentially in her. The one concern I would have had normally in a Fighting Fifth is, I think the Fighting Fifth, when it's on heavy ground and on a windy day at Newcastle, the prevailing winds into them up the straight mostly, I would worry about the extra test of stamina. I think it's more of a stamina test than the champion hurdle if they get, if it's the right sort of conditions. It's going to be better ground than usual. It's not going to be a windy day tomorrow by the forecast. So, I mean, unless the drift is coming up with something significant, it would take Not So Sleepy and Cornerstone Lad really going at it to turn it into the sort of race where they can get Epatant beat. It's not a race I'll be getting heavily involved in because of, you know, worries about when these Henderson horses start to drift. But apart from that, yeah, I agree with DJ. She should be 2s on.
It's an interesting puzzle, Ryan. What's your view?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with DJ here. Ribble Valley looks the one for me at the price at the moment anyway. Nicky Richards is obviously taking it fairly slowly with him, so he has a fair bit to find on ratings, but you'd expect that given the type of race he's been running in. He looked good at Carlisle on his seasonal reappearance last time. There'll be a good pace on in this race as expected, so that'll suit him as he's a really strong traveller. As I said, he's plenty to find on the ratings, but I just think he's an improver, and I like him, and he's a big enough price for the champion hurdle. I think he's around 40 or 50 to 1 for the champion hurdle. So if we're talking about him maybe turning Epatant over tomorrow, that might be worth something at that sort of price. But yeah, the seven runners, so it's not the greatest each way makeup, but I'd put up River Valley in agreement with DJ.
Okay, thanks, chaps. That is a difficult one to solve. And so, for different reasons, is this the 3 o'clock at Newbury, the Ladbrokes Trophy, one of the handicaps of the year, flat jumps or whatever. It's always a brilliant, brilliant race. I always massively look forward to it. I want to know what the lads think. We've got 18 runners. It's typically open. Ryan, take us through Paddy Power's latest betting.
Yeah, Vindication heads our market at 5-1. I Ride is in there at 7-1. It's also 7-1 Black Op, along with Kill the Start. The conditional as well is plenty in there, 7-1. I'd imagine come close to the off, they'll move. And it's 9-1 then Copperhead and bigger rest.
Okay, Keith, you can go first.
Yeah, absolutely love this race. It's very difficult to solve, though, this year. I'd love to see I Ride run well. I think you'll give Callum Bewley the best 3 miles of his life, but I'm not so sure about that last sort of 2 furlongs. I think this horse might not be the plodder that some of them are assuming. The one I'll be backing, if there's one sort of bet in the race, is 2 for Gold. Kim Bailey came out in the week and said he wasn't sure this horse is a stayer. That sounds mad to me. This horse could run from Bailey's Yard to Newbury. It is a real stayer. And I thought, with that in mind, that his run at Weatherby behind Huntsman's Son was really good. It was clearly a prep run for this. And he's run an excellent race over 2.5 miles. Steps up to 3.2 mile now. I think David Bass might be a very sorry man come about 3:10 tomorrow, because I think he'll have jumped off the winner.
I mean, you could, to be fair, Keith, I mean, while I take your point, it would be hard for, and it would look quite sort of significant when, if Bass wasn't riding Vindication. I suppose he sort of feels he has to, doesn't he?
I think he does, because obviously Vindication might have, Vindication might run a Gold Cup, but his 2 for Gold probably won't. So be a loyalty to it there that means he doesn't have to make that choice, for sure. I don't think Vindication jumps well enough, certainly not going left-handed.
Okay, interesting. 2 for Gold is Keith's selection. Who's Ryan's?
Yeah, I just think the cheap piece will help Vindication maybe jump and travel that bit better, so it's fairly an unoriginal choice for me, but I think Vindication is somewhat of a free each way bet in the race. You go back to his ultimate run was very solid off £2 lower, and then he came out obviously was sent off favour to beat Surname at the Charlie Hall. He ran respectable that day, and I just think with the application of cheek pieces in this race tomorrow, that'll be a big help to him, hopefully help him travel a little bit better. And to me, going through the race yesterday afternoon, I don't see any real dark horse in the race, so I'm keeping it fairly straightforward and going for Vindication as a solid each way bet in the race.
Okay, 5 places are on offer from Paddy Power, and that's available through the Racing Post app. DJ, what's your view of the Ladbrokes Trophy?
Well, Bruce, I had a very strong view on the Ladbrokes Trophy up on Wednesday. I basically told anybody that listened to me that Sam Brown would win the Ladbrokes Trophy, and was so excited. Looked at the weather forecast 10 days ago. Everything was perfect. There was rain going to hit Newbury last weekend, and it never arrived. So our baby George at the moment is not sleeping at all. It's a nightmare. So got really thick one of the nights. And I just got up with her and put her in the bouncer. So I said, right, I'm going to get stuck into this Ladbrokes Trophy now that Sam Brown is running, okay? So I genuinely spent about 4 hours studying this Ladbrokes Trophy, okay? And the one that I've come up with, and I'm pretty sweet on it, is Black Op. A horse that I do not like. A soft horse who has the potential to make a mistake and then just throw in the towel, which he did a couple of times over hurdles. But these are the reasons why I'm very sweet on Black Op. When I started looking at the race, when it came to Black Op, and, I was after going through the first 9, he was number 10 on the list, and I couldn't believe he was still only rated 150. That was the first shock I got. I thought he was probably mid-150s. Then I realised he's only had 6 starts over fences. And our automatic reaction to Black Op when you hear the name is, he's been a very disappointing horse. But when you actually go through each and every strand of his form, it's all worked out really, really well. Like, even when he began chasing 2 seasons ago, when they lifted up the stumps after a couple of runs, he had finished third to Defy Desai on Top of the Game at Exeter when he didn't jump particularly well. And then he finished third to Lost in Translation and Defy Desai in the Dipper at Cheltenham on New Year's Day, okay? Then he went back in Stay in Hurdles. He came back last season, first time out at Stratford, and bolted up by 15 lengths. Then he finishes second to Champ in the Grade 2 at Newbury, where he basically had Champ under the pump. Remember, Barry Geraghty almost took the wrong course over really inadequate 2.5 miles. Then he finishes second in the novices chase at Kempton, where he jumped really well, was just caught by Slatehouse after the last. And his comeback run was when only beaten 4 and a bit lengths by Imperial Aura over 2.5 miles at Carlisle. This horse needs a real stamina test on a flat track. His best ever run was at Newbury when he was second to Champ. I just went through everything and I said to myself, oh my God, this is staring us all in the face. This is exactly what Black Op needs. He's a Ladbrokes Trophy horse. He's run off a mark of 150. He's been laid out for the race, as Tom George has said all week. I am all over Black Op.
Wow, excellent. Well played. Let's hope that midnight study up will come to fruition. Quick one on Black Op for you, Keith. Before DJ made that very compelling case, was he on your radar?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, most of the horses, I think the market's quite right on this race. A lot of the horses towards the top deserve to be there. And I think if I wasn't putting up 2 for gold, it probably would have been Black Op. I do reserve the right to think that the idea that he's better than 150 horse is based on pretty old form now, but I can definitely see the case.
Lovely stuff. Those are the two big races on Saturday. Let's do the rest of the TV action in just a mo.
Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Okay, three more races on ITV on Saturday. We'll start with the 150. It's the Get Your Ladbrokes £1 free bet today. Handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. And Ryan, take it away with a show of betting and then tell us what's going to happen.
Yeah, T-Clipper heads our market at 11-4, 5-1 on the wild side, at 7-1, both Champagne Platinum and Flash to Steel, and it's 8-1, then big at the rest then. For me, it's obviously a trappy enough race, given Champagne Platinum looks very well handicapped off the break. There's a couple of Rat Hill is in there as well. It looks very interesting. But I thought maybe on the wild side, down towards the bottom of the weights, could be the one in it. He has to step up from winning 2 Hexham novice hurdles, but I don't think they're as weak as they can be for that track. And Charlie Hammond takes off a valuable £3. He does step up 0.5 mile too on them 2 Hexham wins, but I don't think that'll pose a problem given the way he hit the line over a stiff 2 mile at Hexham. So on the wild side for Dr. Richard Newland will be the one for me in there.
Thank you, Ryan. David Jennings, who's your not your pin, who's your expert eye drawn to?
I'd say most people prefer pins to my expert eye, Bruce. This is really tough. I really fancy Black Op. This race I thought was tricky. The one that I think probably has the most scope for improvement off his mark is Rat Hill. Now his form figures tell you all you need to know. He's 2 duck eggs next to his name, but he did start 5-2 favour for a hot handicap hurdle at Down Royal last year and then didn't run again until the county hurdle. I have a feeling if they did get a clean run with him, and he's had a wind operation, if they did get a clean run with him, he's a type of horse that they've always thought was far better than 133, but it's a complete guessing game because he's out of form. But he's a double figure price, and he just might be worth a fiver just in case he did kind of show what they thought he was capable of early on in his career. So Rat Hill, tentative vote for me, Bruce.
Okay, and Keith.
Yeah, it's not a race I would normally get heavily involved in. I know Amor de Nuit as a chaser and always thought he wanted a big field. He wanted not really testing ground because he is bred for the flat, really. And I think he gets it now. He's come back to hurdles. He won it plumped in on soft in a small field. I think this will see him in a better light, and he's only £3 higher. It is a very competitive race, but I wasn't expecting to see prices as big as 8-1. Quite pleasantly surprised to see that sort of price, so I think a small bet on him.
Okay, I would urge you to go back if you are a Racing Post Ultimate member, and if you're not, you should be, and look at Christopher Wood's run last time. It just screams to me this horse is going to do better next time. The 225 at Newbury is the Ladbrokes committed to safe for gambling. Intermediate hurdle, it's the listed race. Over 2 miles and hello, Mary's Rock. Where have you been all my life? Keels and I lumped on Marie's Rock after she absolutely demolished her field at Taunton last December, and we haven't seen her since. So I'm excited to see what she's going to do. I assume she's a pretty strong favourite, Ryan.
11-8 at the moment, Marie's Rock, Bruce. Time White's in there at 9-2. It's 5-1 Milkwood, 6-1 Botox Hat, 7-1 Sebastopol, and then bigger price the remainder.
DJ, can you talk me out of having a fair bet on Marie's Rock?
Oh God, no. Sure, like she's absolutely chucked in. 1-4-1. I know me old buddy on up in the ante, Gavin Lynch, thinks she's an outside squeak in a champion hurdle. If that's the case, a mark of 141 could look very, very lenient. She's had a wind operation. Just loved her turn of foot at Taunton. It's very hard to put daylight between yourself and the rest of the field at Taunton because it's not that undulating in the home straight. And she basically put 8 lengths between herself and Midnight's Gift after the last. I thought it was a really good performance. Prior to that at Haydock, loved her turn of foot again. I actually think Henderson could have the 1-2 here because I think Floressa could be the one to chase her home. I think she was just over the top when she ran at Cheltenham in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle. The ground was soft too. And, you know, on our run previous to that behind Lady Buttons at Doncaster, she would have a big chance here off a mark of 141. I think this could be one for forecast players because I think Henderson holds the key. So Maurice Rock to beat Floressa for me.
Okay. And by the way, we haven't mentioned weather. For once, we've got a winter weekend where we can be pretty confident that the ground is good now and it's going to stay good as well. There's not any rain forecast anyway. Going to get a bit frosty up at Newcastle, but hopefully they'll be fine. So we know what we're looking at. We're looking at good ground. And Keith, do you agree that that will play into Maurice Rock's hands here?
It should really, shouldn't it, given the speed she showed at Taunton. 13-8 is doing nothing for me. 11-8 with Paddy Power, actually. She could be chucked in, but she's not the only one, to be quite honest. There's a few in this race that I think could be quite well ahead of their mark. And if I had to nominate one, I'd probably go for Botox Ha, because, you know, last time when he won at Cheltenham, he won that pretty readily. He would have won it by further if he hadn't dosed like mad. And he was wandering all over the place. Is he kinky or is he just learning the game? If it's the latter, I think he's still got quite a lot of scope of 146. So I wouldn't be putting anybody off opposing Maurice Rock with him. You know, Maurice Rock, Epitant did exactly what she did last year. Epitant won this off 137 last year and went on to win the champion hurdle. And I think part of her popularity is down to following in those footsteps. But, you know, it is a really, really competitive race. And, you know, I just would not be, while I'm not saying she won't win, I would not be interested in those prices.
Okay, thank you, Keith. And who are you going to go for, Brian?
Yeah, I am agreeing with Keith here, Bruce. It's obviously not ideal that Botox has to give kind of weight to the field off a mark of 146 and give weight to all the horses in the race too. But he's just a type of horse to me that's gone under the radar a little bit. He's not that flashy and he's done very little wrong since he joined Gary Moore from Fat France. So he's a strong stayer over the trip of 2 miles as well. And a few of the main protagonists in the race haven't had a run this season. He has. So Botox has for me too in that race.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's do the 3:35 at Newbury. It's the Watch Racing Free Online at Ladbrokes Handicap Chase. Brackets 4, the Jim Joel Memorial Trophy, over 2 miles and half a furlong. We've got 8 runners, so it's got a nice each-way shape if they all stand their ground. Ryan, how do Paddy Power bet?
Joint favourites at the moment, Iblion Moonlighter at 5-2. It's 6-1, the King of May, 7-1, Zanza, 8-1, Hatcher, 8-1, Western Miller, and bigger prices than the rest.
And over to Keith Melrose for first crack at picking the winner.
Yeah, I like the look of this race. Iblio was, that was the day Ascot. Vinicius Williams has a good record in it, and it was soft ground. That horse was off for its life. Moonlighter, again, a little bit the same in the Halm Gold Cup. Had the best ride, I thought, in that race, and did well to put it up to Grenadine, but, you know, put in on the basis of nothing else sort of getting into it. And the one that I've picked out lower down in the field is novice Zanza. He's had 2 goes over fences in the last sort of 6-8 weeks. I think they've both been fact-finding missions more than anything, and it's very interesting that on the third go, they've thrown him straight into a handicap. He'd run in some really good handicaps. Last year, he was 6th in the Betfair Hurdle. He was down the field in the county, but, you know, that was the sort of races he was keeping in with. He is probably bred more to be a chaser. He's taken to it pretty well. And with those sort of experiences behind him, I think he'll go really well in this. And I don't know what price powers are offering, but I've seen that you can still get 10s, I think, as we record this. But I don't think that'll last.
Not with Paddy Power. They're only 7s. So, Ryan,
most runs are 7s, yeah.
Okay. Does that mean you agree with Keith, Ryan?
No, I'm actually fairly sweet on Iblio on this, Bruce. I think he showed last time at Ascot when he was a close second to Amula Gold that there's still plenty of life left in this handicap mark. And with the form of both his last 2 runs being franked since, I think he can get back to winning ways here. If you look at Venetia Williams' form the last few weeks, the horses are running at a 22% strike rate. So the yard's flying. We're kind of coming into her time of the year now with ground conditions, things like that. So I think Iblio will be able to add to that 22%. Yeah, I'd be very sweet on him in this.
Okay, and DJ.
Oh, Zanza, Bruce. Zanza, myself and Keith are going in together head first. Yeah, this is really interesting because I would say this race has been on Philip Hobbs' radar for quite some time, because if you go back through Zanza's form, his last two wins were at Newbury. And I just think it's a track that suits him. That long home straight, he's a funny sort of a horse. He often gets outpaced in his race. And I remember even when he won first time out in over hurdles, he ran pretty poorly in a fast ass bumper. But when he won at Chepstow, he just loved that long home straight. And I think it sounds ridiculous, but I actually think the long home straight suits him. And I think flat track suits him. Last time at Warwick, I thought that was like All Mankind jumped brilliantly. And nothing was ever going to get close to him. But he still beat Stolen Silver by 8.5 lengths. And that was a good performance. He posted an RPR of 140. The time before that, he was 4th to Eldorado Allen. Stormy Ireland was 2nd. And Stolen Silver was 3rd. So it's all kind of good form tied in with decent novices. I think he's the best handicapped horse in the race off a mark of 138. There's just one thing that petrifies me with Zanza. And that is the third last fence. Because to me, the third last fence at Newbury is the biggest fence anywhere in the world. And I can just see him making up ground coming into it. And if he gets the third last right, and you'll see there'll be so many horses over the next couple of days making mistakes at that third last fence at Newbury. It's massive. And if he gets
it, can't be the biggest fence in the world. That's absolutely ridiculous.
I know. I don't know. Maybe it's just a thing that I have. But if you watch that third last fence, it separates races so often. It could be vision. It could be an illusion, an optical illusion. I don't know, but just it seems to find a lot of horses out. And visually watching it on television, it looks huge. I'm probably bonkers, but
it looks like a climbing wall. It looks massive. It looks, yeah, maybe a bit more given it than you think. I was actually, we did RP Live with Matty Batchelor recently, and I asked him a leading question about the stiffest sort of tracks in the country to jump round. I was expecting to hear Newbury because those fences look enormous. But he was firmly of the opinion that it's more like a Cheltenham place. And I think it's because none of those fences at Newbury, bar the cross fence, are met on a downhill run. But yeah, that third last, the last stitch is what it is as well. It catches a lot out and it looks really scary. The way it looks, it should actually catch it more than it does. But it is a tricky fence.
Just keep that over the next few days, Bruce. And you'll be
I absolutely will. Because I've got a theory about... I think the most benign, easy fence in racing, and it's the pond fence. Well, mine's the pond fence at Sandown. I actually got one of our IT boffins to do a study, and I think in something like a 10-year period, only about 8 horses fell at the pond fence. You just never get pond fallers there. What's your one, DJ?
Mine is on the old course at Cheltenham, the fence just after the stands on the uphill run. Period of 15 years watching races on that track where I couldn't find a faller for 15 years.
That's fair enough. Okay, excellent, very interesting. One more Saturday TV race to cover. It's the 3:15 at Newcastle. It's the Betfair Exchange Rehearsal Handicap Chase over 3 miles, and we've got a decent field here. So, Ryan, take it away with a show of betting.
Yeah, Pym heads the market at 3-1. It's 4-1, the butcher said, along with Watmore. 6-1, definitely red. 8-1, Brave Eagle, along with Shantou Village. And 12-1, and bigger the rest.
Keith Melrose, you know, throughout this whole coronavirus crisis, who's been your favourite TV news journalist?
TV news journalist?
Yeah. Do you not have one?
Well, no, I don't think any of them have come out of it terribly well. But tell you who's done quite well, that lad on Newsnight. What's his name? Lewis Goodall?
Lewis Goodall, yeah. I always like Hugh Pym of the BBC because I like it whenever he's on those Zoom calls with the when they do the government briefing. He always says, they always go, okay, next question, Hugh Pym of the BBC. And he always says, thank you very much, First Minister. I just tickles me. And Pym is favourite here. So I'm close to having a potential sentimental bet on my favourite TV news journalist. That will not help you.
No, it doesn't help me in the slightest. But
okay, go on then. Who wins from a fun perspective?
I was desperate to find something to back that wasn't Watmore. I put him up as a horse to follow, and then I watched Ascot and I thought, no, you're too funny. He threw his head about and wanted to hang, and he has got ability to win again of 142, but I can't do it. I can't do that to myself. So I was a bit fortunate when, or a bit relieved when I saw that taking risks has been laid out for it again. He won this race last year. It was a real test of stamina that day, to be fair. He might not get that here. It was heavy ground last year, and Top Wheel Ben and Captain Chaos went hard and made it into a real test. Hopefully he does get more of than maybe Good Ground is suggesting, because he's had a run already over hurdles at Ayr. He's basically been laid out for the rehearsal again. And yeah, but the horses at the top are ones that really tickle me off the marks they're running off. And even though taking risks to live in, he's very likely to race for that age. He's the one I'll be taking probably each way.
Okay, taking risks for Keith. Who for Ryan?
Yeah, I thought Cool Mix had a decent chance in it. He's a good course record. And if you can see out the trip, that's probably the big question mark with him. He hasn't raced over near 3 miles before. So if you can see the trip out, I think he's a good each way chance. I think Pim looks the correct favourite, given he'd done plenty wrong at Sandown last time and still won. So he's entitled to be banged there. Although at the prices, I think Cool Mix at around 12 to 1 would appeal to me each way.
Okay. And DJ?
Yeah, boring Bruce. Pim for me. If you remember, I was on the podcast with you, and If the Cat Fits was favourite for the race, that second season Future Stars race at Sandown. And I said, no matter what race If the Cat Fits was running, I was taking him on because...
I do remember that, yes. Very wise.
Because his jumping was terrible at Fosse Last.
If the you didn't fancy him down the railway fences, did you? And they fell apart, didn't it?
No, he pinged everyone. And I was going, oh my God, I've got this completely wrong. He jumped perfectly fine If the Cat Fits, and Pim still beat him. Despite Pim being a little bit sluggish himself early, it was like the exact opposite to what I thought would happen early on in the race, because Pim didn't jump that well, and If the Cat Fits did jump well. But Pim still beat him, and giving him loads of weight, I thought that was a hell of a performance. He's only gone up £4 for that. And I think at a track at, like Doncaster, like Pim, in fairness to him, jumped brilliantly when he needed to on the final circuit. But I think at a track like Doncaster, that takes a lot of jumping, there's a lot of fences come up quick and fast at Doncaster. I think Pim is made for this race. I think he's got away lightly off a mark of 154. And Whitey's carrying 11 stone 8. If you go back through the trends in this race, Hey Big Spender carried 11-12 in 2011. Junior carried 11-12 in 2012. And even Hey Big Spender, when he won the race in 2014, carried 11-12. And Beware the Bear carried 11-7 in 2017. So you can carry a big weight in this race, and I think Pim can do it.
Okay.
Looking at the trends myself on this race, and I noticed that none of the last 10 runners have been at Doncaster, DJ.
Oh, sorry. Newcastle, I meant. Sorry, Newcastle.
That's brutal. Wow. You'll be marking Keith's every word now. Keith, you better be absolutely perfect from here.
Maybe I thought about, you know, how they get the southern bias against the north, and we're seeing that with the tiers, aren't we? The New Caribbean. And I just reacted badly to somebody not living in the north of England talking about two of the big tracks interchangeably.
Oh, that was brutal. Don't get me started on the tiers. Hexham, tier 3. There isn't a house within 30 miles of the place. It's absolutely ludicrous. Never mind. At least we have got some crowds back next week. That will be good. Just very quickly, Keith, did your eye get drawn to the Butcher Said after what looked like it could be a really good run behind the big breakaway last time, but sort of either petered out or was just masked or was just overshadowed by the brilliance of the big breakaway? But did you come close to fancying the Butcher Said?
Yeah, I think if I was going to put a penny, the sort of three that are looking around the favourites, he was been the one I came closest to, actually. I don't like that his form's all in little small field novices. Obviously, he's got handicap form over hurdles, but you know, he's had the four runs over fences so far and have all been sort of small field novice races. And the rehearsal chase isn't, like its name suggests, you know, it is a proper race. It does tend to find these things out. So that was the only thing against him. But yeah, I wouldn't be amused at all if he won.
Okay, thank you very much, chaps, for your excellent expert guide to a brilliant ITV lineup on Saturday. Let's see what the boys fancy away from the TV screen. So protect your nap. We'll save those for a minute. What else do you fancy? Ryan McHugh.
Yeah, the 115 at Newbury. Highest Sun is a horse I've been kind of falling off it or jumping off a cliff back in, but
I've done exactly the same, and he just can't jump, can he?
No, well, that's kind of, yeah. I'm just hoping going back right-handed Keith will suit him. He obviously jumped a little bit left at Hereford last time. He's dropped a couple of pounds since that run. I'm just convinced there's a handicap in him off this sort of mark. He's plenty in his favour here, having had a seasonal reappearance run. So, highest Sun for my sins in the 115 at Newbury.
You will be closing your eyes at the third last, I presume.
It's going to be me back him as well, that. That's really annoying.
Really? That's you're going for highest son as well?
No, no, no. I'm saying I was determined not to. You know, I'd quit highest son officially because he's got loads of ability, but he just can't jump.
Ryan's lured you back in.
Yeah, and we said about Newbury, though. That's the thing with Newbury. You know, had this race been anybody else, I think I definitely would have backed him, actually. But maybe the fences might just stop me. But Ryan's not helping matters. I'm trying to quit him, and I can't.
Well, I mean, you're talking about a guy who struggles to quit backing horses time after time. There is David Jennings is the patron saint of that, aren't you? Are any of your other tips, DJ, loyalty tips, or are they fresh perspectives?
No, I've actually got better. In the last 12 months or so, I've actually got more ruthless, which has helped. I had a terrible flaw in my punting policy.
Did you follow Johnny Drama, DJ? Did you follow Johnny Drama onto the Kempton farm? No.
Johnny Drama was gone from my list before he started winning twice.
He's running at Southall today, isn't he, Johnny Drama?
Is he? Yeah, he won a Kempton the other night.
Did you know that? He's in a mad three-runner field against someone good. I can't think who it is.
It's Raymond Tusk. Raymond Tusk.
That's it. Yeah, I looked through the cards and I thought, hang on a sec, Johnny Drama versus Raymond Tusk at Southall. That's a bit surreal.
Where's the pass better when you need it?
Well, yeah, quite exactly. DJ, what have you got for us, my friend?
Just two at Fairy House, Bruce. In the 12:30, it's the Easy Fix handicap chase. Plenty of prize money on offer here. I think Us and Dem is actually well handicapped now. He was third in the Grand Annual to Chosen Mate off a mark of 148. He runs off 145 here. And while he fell last time at Cork, there was just more sign of life. He was ridden more aggressively and he probably would have finished third or fourth at Cork had he not fallen at the last. But I just thought during the race there was more sign of life. And I think off 145, he could have about 3 or 4 pounds in hand if he comes back to that Grand Annual form. So that's 12:30 Fairy House, Us and Dem. And then the 101, God.
Yeah, that's an interesting name for a race, isn't it? 101.
Yeah, we'll probably all be in room 101 after. The Concertista is going to be favoured here, okay? But I just can't get over Concertista's seasonal comeback last year, where she just was far too fizzy and keen when she was beaten by Larkibus in a maiden hurdle here. And I just wonder if she's a spring mare. She was brilliant, obviously, in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle at Cheltenham. She's now rated 148, but I don't know. I think she could just be a spring mare, one that comes alive in the spring. So I'm going to take her on with Manila Melody, who was second to Beacon Edge at Galway. Yes, she was 13-8. She was beaten over four lengths. But I would say this race that was saved from Easter has probably been in Henry de Bromhead's mind for Manila Melody for quite some time. And she looks to me like a bit of value against the favourite. She'd be about 11-4. So Manila Melody in the 101, the Fairy House.
Thank you very much. DJ Keith, what have you got for us?
Yeah, I've just got the one. And to be fair, it's not entirely devoid of a bit of loyalty itself. But I'm certainly not as loyal to Trish and Chizzer's connection seem to be. He often gets backed. Hasn't won the races. I think it's been promised that he would. He always looks like a horse that's better than a mark of 120. He's running off 117 in the 12:20 at Newcastle, having shaped pretty well at Kelso before falling at the second last time. I don't think it's the strongest looking of races. These 2 mile chases in the north really are. And yeah, I think I'll be having a go at him.
Treshnish. Okay, thank you very much. Let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with DJ, your one best bet for Saturday.
Black Op, 3 o'clock, Newbury.
Keith Melrose.
Zanza in the 3:35.
At Newbury. And Ryan.
Botox Hand at 2:25 at Newbury.
Thank you very much indeed, gents. We're going to do Sunday next.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Thanks for joining us. It's Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose, David Jennings, and from Paddy Power, Ryan McHugh. We're looking ahead to a great afternoon of Sunday racing at Fairy House, where there are no fewer than 3 grade ones, some absolutely massive names. Really looking forward to getting some Cheltenham clues and welcoming back some of the real star performers of the jumps game. We'll do those 3 grade ones in chronological order. We'll start with the 105. It's the Bar One Racing Royal Bond. Novices Hurdle, over 2 miles, and Gordon Elliott has a strong favourite here, I think, doesn't he, Ryan?
Yeah, Ballyadam is currently 8-11 in our betting, Bruce. 9-2 Caskmate next in. It's 13-2 Angolo, 7-1 Annexation, and then 14-1 a bigger price as the rest.
Who'd you fancy, Ryan?
Well, the race revolves around Ballyadam, and I'd be very surprised, to be honest, if he was beaten in this. I've backed him for the Supreme before he won at Down Royal, in which he showed plenty of speed, and he's a really quick and fast hurdler, which you'll need to win a Supreme if he's going to go that far. If you look at the ratings of horses he's in against on Sunday, Caskmate's rated 138 and Golo's 137 along with Dewcup. So I'd expect him to be a lot better than them sort of ratings. So I'd be very disappointed if he couldn't put these away with relative ease, to be honest.
Do you echo those thoughts, David?
Yeah, I probably do. I'm just disappointed. She Wears It Well was entered here, and it looked like it was going to be a cracking race between Ballyadam and She Wears It Well, who was unbeaten. And look, Ballyadam is, like, they love him. They absolutely love him, and everything you hear about him is glowing stuff. And yeah, you know, he'll probably win. I certainly wouldn't be backing him at odds on. I hope he's a very good horse, and I hope he wins, because he'll probably be favoured for the Supreme if he does win quite convincingly. The one that I thought will probably be overpriced is Annexation for Henry de Bromhead and Rachel Blackmore. Like, he was only having a second run over hurdles in the Grade 3 at Navan, and he led coming down to last and just made a mess of it. And Angolo kind of finished with a wet sail past him. And I just wonder, if he pinged the last, he probably would have won, and therefore would be a much shorter price here. I'm sure Henry has done plenty of schooling with him since. Look, he's no Ballyadam. He's getting £3. And I could just see him. I would love if there had been eight runners, because I think he would have been a crack in each way bet if there was eight runners. There's only seven, but I think he could be best of the rest. So Annexation, maybe without Ballyadam, I think could be the play.
Okay, I know Keith's got one up his sleeve for elsewhere on the Fairy House card. We'll get that in a minute, but let's do the 135 next. It's the Bar One Racing Drimmore Novices Chase. Over 2 miles and 4 furlongs, and Envoi Alain, the poster boy of Irish jumps racing, reappears here. Extraordinarily short, only 3 to beat, Ryan.
Yeah, he's 1-7, so not really a betting proposition at the moment. 6-1 Assemble, 20-1 Home by the Lee, and 25-1 Cocoa Beach in a win-only race.
I've got, well, yeah, I mean, you can do a forecast, can't you? Who will be second, you think, Ryan?
Home by the Lee has kind of impressed me, the way he looks beaten in his races and then kind of comes home really well. So he looks a horse that's kind of battle hardened, even though he's a novice. So he's probably won at the prices. I'm looking at the betting at the moment. He'll probably get around, I don't know, 9-4, maybe without Envoi Alain, him maybe 2-1. So he's probably one that I'd be interested in without her in the forecast.
DJ, obviously all eyes on Envoi to see what he can do here. I mean, we'd expect a procession, wouldn't you? Name the winning distance.
Yeah, sure. This is a disaster, Bruce. Let's call a spade a spade. Like, we were hoping, it's a great bloody one race, and we were hoping to get to see, you know, some chinks in Envoi Alain's armor. But like, what's going on? Like, where? Like, Willie Mullins has 25 horses that are top class novices, probably, certainly over 10. Anyway, that's probably an exaggeration, but certainly over 10 Grade 1 novice chasers. Like, where are they? Like, what? Like, oh, this just, when I seen that, like, Tuesday at the 5-day forfeit stage, there was only 7 entries, only 2 trainers representative, Joseph and Gordon. And yes, Envoi Alain could be Argyll or Flying Bolt or Best Mate, whoever, but like, let's find out if he is. I was just, oh, it just annoyed me when I seen the decks for this race. 4 runners. I know this is a punting show and people just want to know at the back, but look, there's my rant. I think Envoi Alain will win easily, obviously. He's not the type to win by big distances, but maybe this is the one race where he might actually win by a big distance. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing him, but I just would have loved to have seen, you know, something against him from Willie's. Just something.
No, I totally hear you. That makes perfect sense. At this stage, where would you expect to see Envoi Alain turn up at Cheltenham?
He'll run in the marsh. Like,
yeah, question.
He'll run in the marsh. Gordon is great. If you're following trainers' views, and like, Willie can change his mind. We saw with Fautura running the Ryanair when he was supposed to be going for the Gold Cup.
Oh, I'd noticed that.
Very seldom, and I deal with Gordon regularly, very seldom if Gordon says a horse is going for a certain race, does he change his mind. He's very black and white. And that even shows with Envoi Alain running this race, because he's won it with Delta Work, Death Duty, No More Heroes. A lot of them horses would have won the beginner's chase at Down Royal as well. He follows familiar paths, and this Drimmore is a familiar path for him. Don Cossack obviously won it and went on to win a Gold Cup. So, I think he'll run in the March.
Okay, fine. And the 2:35 is the Bar One Racing Hatton's Grace Hurdle over 2.5 miles, and another superstar, Honeysuckle. The brilliant Honeysuckle is back. And this is slightly more of a punting proposition now, isn't it, Ryan?
Yeah, Honeysuckle's 4-6. It's 5-1 Fury Road, 8-1 both Bacardi's and Beacon Edge, 9-1 Ronald Pump. I may as well give the other two a mention. Super Sunday 18 and 50-1 the outside of the field. Cracking smart.
Okay, David Jennings, I've seen a lot worse 4-6 shots than Honeysuckle.
Yeah, I probably agree. I kept trying to take Honeysuckle on last season, be it Benny Dudu, be it in this race last year. And she just kept on winning, same in the Irish Champion Hurdle. Look, she's unbeaten. She's rated 159. She's getting weight from her rivals. I think Fury Road is a good horse, and I was actually surprised to see him showing up here. I think it's between the two. I think Fury Road has enough pace to cope with this drop back and trip. So I think, as you said, if you are an odds-on player, I think you'll find far worse 4-6 shots than Honeysuckle.
What do you make of it, Ryan?
Yeah, I'd be fairly sweet on Fury Road, mainly without... obviously, the 7 runners, if there was 8 runners, I'd be keen on them each way. I'd probably end up just backing away. I'll have something on them to win the race too. As DJ said, I don't think the drop back and trip will inconvenience him too much because he's a strong enough traveller over 3 mile. When you watch him over 3 mile, he looks like a drop back and trip would be fine for him anyway. I think he could end up running well in something like a Stairs at the end of the season. So obviously he's to cope with Honeysuckle here, and that's kind of two totally different types of horses he'd be up against. But he has won in his reappearance. He has a run on Honeysuckle, which might count for something on the day. So at around 5-1, you'll get an okay price and bet without Honeysuckle. So Fury Road, I think, will definitely be at least second.
Lovely stuff. Let's see what else the lads fancy at Fairy House and indeed elsewhere. Keith Melrose, you've been sitting there patiently. What have you got for us, old Ben?
The only sort of previous race I was interested in betting in might have been the 205. I might have given one more chance to Cheb de Kervenu. Of course, it's run loads of times in France, but not run many times for Gordon Elliott. It was still improving until just ran like a drain at Downpatrick in March there, but I haven't seen Downpatrick on the telly often enough and forgive any horse a bad run round there. And then obviously when he ran in the Troy Town, that looked like a spin for something else. He gets 3.5 miles, which I think he'll suit a marathon test. And I was all ready to put him up as my one bet at Fairy House on Sunday, because as the lads have talked about, it's a great card, but nothing was appealing to me for betting purposes on the day. There was one I wanted to mention actually over at Leicester. When Gala Victoire finished third at Kempton on 14th of March last year, I wrote in my notes, are there 2.5 mile veterans races? And it turns out there are. There's this one at Leicester, and Gala Victoire has been declared for it. He's been sharpened up with a spin at Hereford. I'm a little bit scared of Semitigal, who's at the right trip, and 2 taps if he's fit, but you know, no reason to think that this isn't a big drop down for Gardner Victoire, and that he should hopefully go and run a big race and maybe get himself back in the winner's enclosure.
Marvellous. Many thanks, Keith. Have you got anything else for us, Ryan, before we wrap?
I'll just give Monlino a mention in that Porterstown race as well. He was second in the race last year, off 3 pounds lower. He had a really good run over hurdles at Clonmel recently when he only got ran down late. So Monlino in that Porterstown, the staying handicap chase. It was great prize money in that race, actually. It's worth nearly double what the Royal Bond is worth.
Excellent. And DJ?
Yeah, in that 205, I thought I'd found one as well. Captain CJ for Dermot McLaughlin, local trainer, would love to win a race like this. This would be massive for him. A really, really good trainer. And I just think it ran disappointingly in its return to action in a Grade 3 at Cork. But that wouldn't put me off too much. I'd imagine that was just a pipe opener for this. His form at Fairy House is really, really strong. Second to Champagne Classic in a beginner's chase. Second to Ronald Pump in a beginner's chase. Third only beaten 5 lengths by Carefully Selected in the beginner's chase. All at Fairy House. And he went on to win a Grade 2 at Navan last year as well. He's rated 143. I just think he could be a little bit better than that. I'd be shocked if this wasn't the ultimate aim for a horse like this. So Captain CJ in the 205 and just won in an earlier race. I know people are expecting to see the Triumph Hurdle favour Quixilios in the 12:30, the Grade 3 Juvenile Hurdle. But I think Zanahir is every bit as good as Quixilios. And I wouldn't put anybody off back in Zanahir for the Triumph Hurdle before he runs in the 12:30 at Fairyheads. I think he's a very, very good horse. You might kind of say to yourself, ah, God, sure, he only won at Ballinrobe. I thought that was a decent enough maiden hurdle and they went quick. And I like the way he quickened from the last to the line at Ballinrobe. I don't think there's much between Zanahir and Quixilios. So Zanahir and the 12:30 at Fairyheads.
Splendid. Now then, I don't know about you guys, but this is probably my favourite time of the racing year. These big Saturdays just come week after week. And next Saturday, we have got a treat at Sandown. As I said earlier, there will be crowds there, albeit only 2,000. If you can get in there, you're lucky. A, because you'll be able to go racing again. And B, because you're going to be able to see the Betfair Tingle Creek. Let me read out Paddy Power's latest prices, which will show you what a potentially fantastic race it is if plenty of them turn up. 6-4 Altior, 5-1 Greenatine, 5-1 Politolog, 8-1 Rouge Vif, 10-1 Defi de Soy and Duke de Genève, 16 Magic Kate, 16 Waiting Patiently. Remember him. What a race this promises to be. Really looking forward to it. And we hope you can join us next Friday to look ahead to that, plus loads of other fantastic racing, including Aintree. In between now and then, we've got Maddie back on Monday to review this weekend's action and chew through all the clues. In the meantime, many thanks to David Jennings, to Keith Melrose and to Ryan McHugh. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, always bet responsibly and safely. Hope you have a fantastic weekend.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.